Hello and welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, December 4th, 2021. This was a chat with Intergalactic Planetary. They were given a demo in their Discord server showing off the UI and how to mess around with planets and stuff. And we were there recording it. People were asking questions about the project, so I thought you all would enjoy hearing it. Let's take a listen.
Here's a question, my man. We're working on the shader for like the transitions from the ground. So this is like green to that tan color. And we want to know, do you like this one better that's more jagged? Or do you like this clean cut one? I shouldn't try to add any affliction. Do you like this one that's clean cut? Or do you like the one that has some details to it?
Details.
Ooh. Okay. So we have Finn who's neutral on either or and says there should be an option. And is it like overwhelmingly details like... You would attack us in real life if we did this over this one, or just like you subtly like this one better?
Well, I mean, if you're trying to make it more realistic, right? This one is more realistic to shrubbery and trees than straight lines.
True.
It's true. I guess one thing to note is that it's kind of good. Like if we decide to make it like global settings, like you could make a lava planet and like the. Like the red to the black would also have the jaggedness versus
yeah. Lava planet. All right, lava planet base color like a blackish kind of color, like
a blackish gray.
Yeah, let's get the water up. Feel free to cut in.
I was gonna say that's a good point because what I was gonna ask is unless there's something where this is gonna apply to somewhere else and then you're gonna have two contrasting things or things that should look more alike. Then maybe the straight lines make more sense.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess like because like anyone who owns one of these planet NFTs can make it however they need it to be, or like however they want it to be. So like the themes are kind of up to them, but like we're trying to make one that like would work for all of the like all possibilities, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think for my initial reaction was like, well, from planet building. Again, straight lines you don't really see in nature, right? But at the same time, we are talking about building something and you have to do it in a way that it's almost modularized so that you can do it for multiple types of things. And if we're, you know, in like games, you do see straight lines. So it's not like the question was, would I object strenuously? No, I'd be okay with it.
Okay. So I have to make sure that you really believe in it passionately, you know? It's important. I'm working on that lava plant now. But yeah, feel free to ask any questions about what's going on, how this works, why we're doing it. Like, I'm just going to probably futz around for a little bit. And then, if it's chill in here, then I'll probably just start working on it more. Start look okay.
I'm going to go eat some food real quick before it gets cold. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to grill you on your project.
Awesome. Sounds good.
And I want to know why T-Floki didn't utilize you guys for their planets when they very easily could have. So you think about that, and I'll be back.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I didn't look too much into T-Floki. I think they're just doing images, though. I don't think they're doing 3D models, unless I'm missing something. But
For 5,000 per planet, I hope they do more than just sit there.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, they're 5,000 UST?
I believe so, yeah.
Are you serious? Hold on a second.
There's some things I don't understand exactly with T-Floki, but 5,000 is the number that I've seen. There's something to do with whether you were one of the original, like one of the Genesis Minters, and whether you want to get in after that. But 5,000 is a legit number. Maybe the only question is, who is being asked to pay that 5,000?
Oh my goodness.
Here we are. So are these what you're talking about? So, okay, I have a hard time understanding their website. So when they say the min here, I guess, are these even on sale yet? Because I just see, like, you know, 9K right here. Is that really what it's going for, like $9,000?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah. I'm not in it. I'm not in it, and the price is one thing, but I also was late to the whole FOMO on it, but that's what I've seen lately. And I thought about getting into it because it was getting hyped up, but then they came out with this stuff recently, and I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, it's pricing out a lot of normal people.
Yeah, a little bit. Just so you know, I don't know if you, how familiar are you with our project? I guess, where'd you hear from about us from?
Yeah, and so going back to what you asked me before, I have seen a couple of the tweets that you guys sent out and one or two of the videos, because I have seen the demo where you did some planet building. I forget where it was. Definitely, more than likely, on Twitter and maybe somewhere else. But yeah, if you want to give me your elevator pitch on the project, then we can start there.
Yeah, sure. So basically, me and Eric aren't necessarily like the biggest NFT buyers in the world, but we were interested in the idea of having, basically, you can exchange around data. And in our case, we thought data is interesting, but data can always be copied. So an image can be copied, and like the ownership is technically there in a very social construct, and that's all NFTs. But we thought it'd be interesting, instead of handing around data, let's hand around the rights to mutate data within an ecosystem. So let me actually back out of this planet that I'm working on. And here's the galaxy. So our thought was, okay, let's mint out all these planets, and each planet that you could mint correlates to a location in the galaxy. And if you minted that planet, you have the ability to change the planet however you want, whenever you want, all for the cost of gas, which is like 5 cents right now. And we thought that was an interesting way to start pondering the idea of mutable NFTs, because that's kind of a buzzword to some small degree right now. So we're interested in mutable NFTs. We're interested in how they can be used to generate game worlds. And what we're doing with this project in particular is we're trying to, I guess, push the envelope to make developers actually have some proof of prototype. Like, this is existing right now. This is our dev server, and this will release at launch. And also show that we can do a lot with NFTs. Like, this isn't that complicated to do from like a tech standpoint. It's all possible. It's just a matter of putting in the time. So this project in particular is going to be fully open source. All the models are going to be available, like the 3D models. The music that we paid to get commissioned, that's going to be royalty free. And basically, if you want to just rip this project out of our hands and build your own, build up bigger, you can go ahead and do that. So it's about just experimenting in the space a little bit more. And obviously, like, we hope to get some revenue from the mints. We'll find out if that actually happens or not. But we're trying to be like at a price point where everyone can get on board if they want to. So a bit longer than elevator pitch, but that's kind of what I would say there.
No, that's good, because yeah, I hadn't gotten that full grasp of it before. Two questions, but the quick one first. You mentioned transaction or activity and five gas per. Did I hear that right? Yeah.
5 cents. So here, let me show you real quick. I can edit this planet right now as an example. This is all on our local test net. So let's say I own this one and I raise this up. I can click the save button here. And the cost for me to commit that change to the blockchain, because all of our data is stored on chain. So like, this isn't in a centralized database. If our project dies, someone can just kick up the front end again and it'll all exist still. Like, you never lose your data. We don't have control over it. And like right now I'm signing a transaction for 5 cents to update the planet. That'll go through. And now when I back out of here, hopefully, I should see that lump. There it is right there. So now anybody who goes to this website, to this URL, will see this change I just made to the planet that I own. So all the data is on chain, which is where that cost comes in. And we charge just gas. There's no fee on top. We don't scrape a dollar from each time you do it. That's just raw gas, what you need to do this on the blockchain.
Okay, that makes sense. One thing though, the data is on chain or it's stored in the database?
Stored on chain. So it's inside the NFT contract.
Yep. I'm familiar with the contract because I've been, like, I work in software anyway. So like I have some technical expertise. So I like going through like the API request and the kinds of things that the NFTs are storing in the metadata. And I know that some projects do store it within the contract, within the transaction. Others store part and part and store it in a database, which makes it harder to, like, you know, assess traits and that sort of thing. So I was just clarifying how you guys are planning to do with yours.
Yeah, for sure.
Can you show them what the message looks like? You can kind of see how it's stored on chain.
Let me go back. Let's go to planet one again. Actually, we weren't even on this one. Oh, we were. Okay. Yeah, so let's make another small change. Let's fix the stupid bump I made on this planet. By the way, hey, Roth, how you doing, man? All right, there we go. So we got that now. Let's save that. And so here's the message over here, and I'll make this bigger so you can see it. So we wrote our own data format for this, like this. This isn't a real wallet, by the way. This is one of the test wallets, so feel free to – I'm not doxing myself. So inside here is a base64 string, and this is a encoding of all the data of the planet. So the – I guess the height map of the planet, where all the details are placed, the water color, the atmosphere height, and it's all just in one big string. And this string just gets written directly to the NFT contract. So I guess the big thing to note with this is that our theory with this is that the data inside the contract is not necessarily of value, but the value is you have the rights to change it. And therefore, when you change it, everybody can see what you're doing. So it's almost like having a public spot in an art gallery. Oh, we cancel this. Gotcha.
That is just a basic base64, so you can go to any decoder and decode it.
Yeah, you're going to have a fun time decoding it, because like basically what I do is I convert like all the heights of the vertices to binary, and then I repack all the binary together. So you could unpack it, but it's going to be gibberish. When the code's open source, by all means, you can take a look at it. And like there's a decoder that shows how the data is shoved around and how it's packed. But yeah, it's just packed into a custom format that can be put on the blockchain, because I don't think you can put raw bit streams and stuff up there.
You cannot. It has to be over string. The standard is to use base64. No one does anything more dense than that.
Yeah. I think even if you look at most contracts, like for like doing a swap from a CW20 token to like a native token, you will send a base64 request to the CW20 tokens to the contract.
Yep.
And then that will pass that data off, decode it, and send another request to a different contract. So it's a pretty common standard, which is why we went with it. You can go crazy and do base91 and stuff like that, but I guess why? You know, if this works, yeah. No need to rock the boat too much.
There's a restriction on the amount of data that you can send in one message. It's 4,000 kilobytes, so that's the size of the netted. That's kind of like the upper limit that we gave ourselves, so we didn't have to do multiple messages in a transaction.
Yeah, you could hypothetically go really ham with this. Yeah,
I was gonna say this is pretty cool, like to be able to do this. Just the like you said from the start, the concept of mutating things on chain, right? How do you guys compare yourself, or if you compare yourself with XYZ?
Yeah, so XYZ, I vaguely know what they're doing. We had some chats with them in Discord because we're just curious how they did their launch and stuff. So XYZ, I think, is more focused on making a more complex metaverse of some like scavenger hunty stuff and stuff like that. For us, we're less concerned about having, I guess, exclusivity of coordinates and having basically an on-chain game for it. And I guess I'm trying to think of, because yeah, we're not super like them. Like we are similar just because we're like in space and we have planets, but I would say just in practice, we're more focused on selling this as kind of an art piece as opposed to, are they play to earn technically? Because they're going to have resources and stuff, yeah, right?
They have resource farming. They're going for a larger metaverse thing, and we're not as bullish on the metaverse as everyone else.
And I'm also personally not bullish on play to earn, if I'm being completely honest.
I think that's that. Those two opinions, though maybe unpopular in some places, ooh, aren't necessarily invalid. I think those things are like my personal opinion is like they're being sold as if they're coming next year, and I don't think they're coming next year anytime soon.
Yes, I think a good example of that is like most projects. Like, this is going to be weird to sound it. I don't mean it in a cocky way. We're going to be like one of the few projects to actually launch and have our product working, which is somewhat ridiculous to say in any other context. Like if you're talking about the traditional game market, like it's not necessarily people pre-order, but you know what I mean? Yeah. And games take a long time to make. Like even this thing that we're working on here, like this was, you know, 3 to 4 months of 50, 60 hours a week. And there's still a lot more to be done. And like, this is just like a, basically a demo of how you can do mutable data and like all the cool things you can do with it. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree.
Our on-chain contracts for this as well. So like, and we're willing to help other like projects use that to like kind of do their own mutable on-chain data as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, so comparison to XYZ is pretty evident just because, as you said, hey, we got planets, we're in a galaxy, we have coordinates. And that's essentially where it stops, is what I'm getting, which is fine. But I think a lot of people will make that comparison. In XYZ, and I don't think of it as P2E, but it is like, you know, it's almost like a turn-based game or like a civilization type thing, right? Where you find your coordinates, you start looking for planets, then you find your planets, and then you start gathering resources for your planets. And then, yeah, I think the long-term view is you will be able to then trade your resources, whether for UST, I believe, and or for other resources. And then, yeah, it's like the building blocks of that metaverse, whatever that metaverse is going to look like, and whether that involves Astroverse planets or not, or some other things in the metaverse, that's still not clear to anybody, at least not from what they've said. So this is not exactly the same thing, but you can see where like a lot of people are going to look at it and be like, oh, why can't we do this in Astroverse, or why can't we do this in XYZ? And maybe that's where you're saying you guys will get that sort of input from the other projects and maybe start having some collaborations or things along those lines.
Yeah, and you're definitely not the first person to mention XYZ to us. Like, it's definitely already been a comparison, so that observation is really accurate. And I guess like in terms of like what we plan to do long term with Vision, I think I would almost prefer to make like, if we were going to do something, I'm definitely not promising this right now, I would almost prefer to make almost like a single player game in browser for this, where basically, if you like the game enough, you can own a planet and manipulate the universe in which that game takes place. Like, almost imagine like if you could play Skyrim and like, if you like the game enough, you could throw down $10,000 to Todd Howard and you could own Whiterun or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a really interesting idea too, right? What's that, Eric? You can take
it. And then you grief it for everyone.
Screw it, right? I mean, the thing is, that's fun about this. Like, if people want to grief their planets, by all means, like, it's yours. Yeah. You can do that if you want. But I think there's an interesting concept there where, especially like when we talk about blockchain and what type of game interactions are possible, there tends to be limitations just because any big interaction you have to do probably needs to be a signed transaction to some degree. And that makes a huge kind of frictional barrier. Like, so if you can't make like a first person shooter on chain, it's like, okay, you shot him in the head, sign this transaction that you shot him, right? And that gets a little dicey to do. So that's kind of like where my head's at, where I think you can do a lot of fun stuff with games, with NFTs, but it involves more so just itemizing the world out and items in it and just making that very liquid for people to participate in. So
yeah. Let me ask one more question before, because I see other people join. I don't want to monopolize you guys. You started talking about long term, and then you said, I wouldn't promise this, but like when someone asks you then, or you also said, hey, this is just art, but it has this really cool feature of being mutable NFT. If someone were to ask you along the lines of, well, what's the utility? What would you say? If there is any at all?
Sure. No, I would say that like technically the utility is just, it's fun, right? Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, if you own this planet, it will yield 20% every, like, that's not going to happen. Like, the reason why you'd want to get this is because you're thinking, okay, this is an interesting application. I think this is a fun way for the community to come together and make something that's kind of unique. And that's kind of the utility I see. So basically the utility of any other game that you would buy, you're getting it because it's fun. And I don't know if Eric, you have a different opinion, but that's kind of
how I agree for the most part. But I guess specifically the utility of owning a planet is you own the rights to edit that data that planet represents. And then like anyone can come and view it. You exist in like in a solar system where it's just a collaborative way for people to share their NFTs and like enjoy them together. So Theo, you want to go pull up like a solar, or maybe save that planet and pull up like a solar system so you can see how it's a way for NFTs of the same project just to be displayed in a commutative way.
I'll stick to the middle because this is like what we've done like in QA and we've broken a couple of these already. But sure. Yeah, once again, like, you know, these are all plants that have been edited on the blockchain. Like when we loaded in the solar system, a query went out to the contract and pulled down all the data for these, found out all the owners, and now it's displaying them here. And that applies for not only this one, But if we mint out for all of these, even all the way out here, and like this is going to be kind of the idea. Right now, these ones are dead planets, so they're just white because nothing's ever been done with them. But like, if you can imagine a situation where for whatever reason we mint a decent number of these, you could just show up to this website one day because you're bored, click the random button, and just show up inside the solar system and just start poking around. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing. It's basically what we said earlier. It's like an art gallery almost. And it can be kind of memeified a little bit if you're drawing certain things on your planet. But, you know, that's the fun part about it.
Also, paper-handed rug. I can't read the full name there. Rug machine. Feel free to turn your mic on and ask any questions as needed. And also, thanks for joining.
Yeah, so I guess, Oz, what's your read on that with in terms of utility? I'm just curious what your opinion is for, like, in terms of NFTs and, like, holding utility.
Well, yeah, I mean, so the reason I asked is because I know other people are going to ask. And I think it is a cool idea. I think it's a cool concept. And, again, because I like or have enjoyed going through the metadata of the NFTs, it interests me from that. That technical standpoint, that this is something that I haven't seen. Even the Base64 encoding that you mentioned before, of all the contracts that I've looked at, all the transactions, I haven't seen anyone do it. The only encoding I've seen on the NFTs that I've played with are for the Secret Punks, which is a completely separate blockchain, but just as an example. So utility for me doesn't necessarily have to be there if I like the art, right? Like XYZ, I'm in because it's an interesting concept, and it's sort of like a game. And again, I compared it to old school civilization, but like, you know, I'll buy something else just because I like the look of it. And I know that it's not going to be useful for anything versus buying something like, you know, if I was in Derby Stars, I'd do that for the P2E and then that sort of utility. But even then that'd be a different reason for getting into it. If I were to get into this, it would be me knowing, oh, there isn't a utility long-term plan, like any of that where, you know, you're gonna do these other things with these other projects and have these other things happen. You're not promising that, like you said. You have the benefit of this is the project. It's gonna be done, and here you go. Do whatever you want to do. If you're an artist, great. If you're just someone who wants to play around like me, because I'm not an artist. I play around with like GIFs and Photoshop, but I can't do the sorts of things you're doing on screen right now. But it seems really cool to do, and for whatever that cost of entry is, might be worthwhile, especially knowing that it is on chain. So there's that newness factor to it, right? But I think people will, and I'm sorry, it's getting long-winded, but the reason I am, people, I think now are definitely suffering from NFT fatigue. Like the groups that I'm in, you hear it all the time with like the mints, all the mints recently aren't minting out. There's always the debate within the projects, like what do we do with the unminted mints? Do we burn them? Do we give them away? Costs are too high given where the market's been. And that's just like in general. So I think because of that, people start to ask, well, what is the utility? What am I getting above and beyond the art? But that's, if it's just the art, that's okay too, right? It's just going to be a personal preference of why someone's getting into the project, I think.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me. Yeah, I think that's something where we are, which you're totally correct that we're going to probably butt heads with a couple people when they ask what's the utility, and we're like, oh, you know, it's just a game. And it's like, people are looking for investment mediums right now. And that's something that we've kind of been harping on for our project. It's like, honestly, if you're looking for an investment medium, clearly we were correct a couple weeks ago, just stick with Luna and you're going to do great, as of evidence of recently. So we still continue, I think, that philosophy. And I think let's dive into like mint cost. So that's actually something where we've been saying for a while that we're doing one Luna per planet. So once again, recent events have made that a little bit pricey. So we are going to be switching to a UST-based mint, and we're going to probably post this on Twitter tomorrow, by the way. So this is technically alpha, but it's not probably that interesting to the wider audience. And I think we're targeting 30.
It is a price. We're switching from Luna to UST.
That's true.
We're reducing it. So
and we're going to 30 UST for the mints. So we're going from, I guess, $80. What's Luna at right now? Is it 75? Yeah, so we're going from 73 to 30 per mint at this point, which feel free to pick at that number as well, because we're trying to figure out what pays us to actually do this and get it out to people versus like what's actually feasible to buy. So that's one thing that we're changing soon and for the mint.
Well, I think that's a good choice too. Well, good choice to think about it and revisit it given the market conditions and given the NFT market conditions. Going from Luna to UST, I think will please a lot of people. It definitely pleases me. Like I just had to like swap out some Luna to be able to like pay for my contract on Random Earth. I'm like, I don't want to use my Luna. I'd rather use UST, but they don't have an option for it. So I found that very irksome, right? And it's a small thing, but it's sort of like people like the option, and if anything, UST, especially now, is probably an easier thing to deal with. Dropping the price, I think, unfortunately, because of the NFT fatigue, is probably also a smart decision, especially, again, because people will ask, well, what's the utility? And if you're just going to say it's just a game, it's fun art, well, then I think 30 is okay. Like, I paid, I don't know if it was like 5 or 7 Luna for a version 2 or phase 2 Astroverse the other day, but those things are going for, like, you know, the version 1s are going for, like, over 20, 25, 50 Luna. That's a completely different thing, right? So I think those two decisions are good. I don't see you guys getting any or any significant flack for that, because it's you're taking the market conditions, talking about them, and making a decision and accommodating what you're seeing. I mean, you don't see that too often. I see a project react to that after or during the mint, like in a sort of panic sort of way, which just doesn't come off good, right? It's better to like do those things preemptively and have a plan for what happens. Yeah. Is there going to be a limit per person or per wallet?
Yeah. So there's a whitelist phase. So if you're staking 5 Luna, you're very likely on the whitelist. That is the whitelist condition. We took the snapshot December 1st. Anybody who was staking 5 Luna or was a stater staker, you're on the whitelist. So that's about 50K wallets. During the whitelisting phase, not every whitelisted wallet, but if you're a whitelisted wallet, you are allowed to mint one planet. There's a total supply of 5,000 planets. So hypothetically, there could be a mint out. Based on our current audience size, I think it's unlikely. But and then after whitelist minting ends, then it's open season. Anybody, any wallet, any number. So there's going to be kind of a locked-in period where it's one per wallet. But, you know, there's more wallets than there are planets at this point.
Cool. That sounds good. I think 5,000 for a mint number is also a good idea, because people are getting
sick. Yeah, we've amended that as well. We started at 50K and they were like, well, that's actually not a perfect.
That's not feasible.
Lower is better, definitely.
Yeah, totally. The thing is with the 50K thing, like when we changed it, I was like, I want people to know that isn't a technical limitation. You could totally have done 50K. That's totally viable.
We could do an infinite supply if we wanted to.
Yes, infinite universes.
Like, but there is like a limit to the amount of data you can put on the blockchain at a time, but like it's not like code-wise, there's not a limit to the amount that we could do with the number of planets.
Yeah. Maybe we should have something simple. We won't be doing another mint, by the way, of another galaxy. This is the only one. Yeah. It will not be like, oh my god, a new galaxy has appeared, and there's another fight. Like, we're not going to do that. This is it. This is the only official contract from our company. If somebody mints another one, it's theirs. It's not our canon, but that is the max supply. Like, done deal.
So if somebody, I see you're creating my planet here. I appreciate that, Finn here. So if somebody open source, or you open source it, somebody takes it, forks it, creates a galaxy, it's your code, so you know it probably better than they would. Would you be able to then add something into your code to make it to where your galaxy eats their galaxy?
No. Oh yeah, so you know, make a meme on them basically, right? You know, just mess with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, non-joking answer, there's nothing we could do to affect their stuff.
Like when you log in, like yes. You just see the spiral galaxy of intergalactic like slowly coming closer and closer and shit.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so good.
Yeah, you could just see in the background of the galaxy view their galaxy just on fire. Just, you know,
they're that Immortal Engines movie where the cities just eat each other and take their resources and shit. That'd be so dope.
Something that is kind of interesting is, technically speaking, if another, you know, group of people said, hey, we like the project, we would like to do a mint based on your planets, we want to give people the option, if they own a planet, they can mint a moon or something, they could technically work with us and do that all by themselves. We would obviously, to have them be like, Canon and our website, we would hold them accountable to like actually do the work. We're not really big fans of people just minting something and saying, oh yeah, we did the minting part. You guys do all the graphics and all the game stuff. Cause that's bullshit.
That's the harder part.
Yeah. That's the hard part. That's like the 90% of the work right there. Right. So if someone goes through like their stuff and said, hey, we're minting planets, here's our code, go try it out, QA it with us. Totally happy for someone to take the wheel and do that mint and take the profits. Like, I think that'd be really cool, honestly. But they need to put up the labor to do it. And you know, if they don't want to, then, you know, I don't want to do it for them. It's not my job, so. But that is something that's kind of cool. Like, this is extendable just like XYZ or any other project. People can point to our contract and mint things off of that.
So hypothetically, if, say, a couple of devs from, let's say, hypothetically, like, another blockchain, like, let's say, Binance shit chain or something. Cool. Let's say a couple of those devs wanted to come over here and start figuring this stuff out. You would have available the open source code for this and the token contract for them to take a look at, or how would that work?
Sure. We would be able to do all that except for Binance Smart Chain is Ethereum virtual machine.
Yeah, no, not to launch it on there. Like, say they want to start launching stuff on Terra, like, but they're from Solidity.
Oh, okay, since this is open, if someone like would say from Juno or Adam or Cosmos wants to launch this there, this would work there as well.
Very cool. I might have a couple of devs reaching out to you guys.
Go for it.
Also, let's say I want to take my bug project and mint a planet for the bugs, or maybe mint the bugs mutables like this. So how hard is it to take the planet out but leave all of the cool tools and shit and then make that something else, like a bug shell or something?
So...
And how much would you charge to do that for me?
Contract-wise, it'd be pretty simple. Front-end rendering-wise, that's where the hard part is.
That's where you guys come in.
That's perfect. That's where a couple years of game dev have helped me out. Graphics, like, it isn't intrinsically that hard, but there's a lot of little weird tricks and stuff. Once again, though, like, I'm trying to make the code as clean as possible. So, I mean, if people want to dive into the weeds, because I think the one thing that... Once again, one of the big goals is if we can get other projects to look at this and just like kick the bar slightly higher, that'd be awesome. So getting more people into 3JS or just even rendering tools to make 3D worlds, like even, I know we're not the first people to do that, obviously, but getting these tools out here so people can start picking through a live example of them is always a good idea. And hopefully people take a look at it. We'll find out. Or they'll just make fun of my code, which is also okay, but you know. I guess I'll learn something then. Time to make a new planet. Any suggestions on themes?
Uranus. Sorry, who said that? Get this guy out of here.
Make a big space butt.
Get this guy out of here.
I could do that, but I don't think I want to.
make a Terra logo or a Luna logo.
Let me get one up. This is going to be terrible. This is not a good way to sell our project.
See, you should have teamed up.
So the one restriction is this isn't great for doing curved edges.
Yeah, we had to limit the... Oh, God, this is not going to go well. I'm just looking... So I'm looking at this one right now, by the way, just a reference.
Yeah, I tried this a few weeks ago. Let me see if I can pull a screenshot.
Let's see. All right, so first we need to get that color going. Let's take this yellow. All right. Then we need that orange color. Let's take the official orange color. And by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this. This is all going to work on mobile devices too. Like, I'm doing this in desktop right now, but there's actually just an update on iPhones that fixed a long-standing problem I was having. Now it should all work there, which is pretty cool. I don't necessarily guarantee that the experience is going to be the most fun dealing with this on an iPhone, but you can certainly view the Galaxy just as easy. And, you know, you can do all what I'm doing now there. It'll just be a lot more time consuming and tedious because it's on a smaller screen. Let's get rid of the axes as well. All right, so that's that. That's the easy part, making it all yellow.
I would almost say for a smaller screen, you should just do like little presets, like what Instagram has, like the different filter presets, and just have like 10 different planet presets. Like if you just want to like fuck around, and then like a few sliders or something. I don't know how in depth people are going to be like on their phones doing this, but
yeah, I think we did a poll. Did you see that poll on our Twitter?
I did. I voted. But I feel like people are going to do the minting on their phones, if anything, but to really like experience the tool and like build their planets out in really cool ways, I feel like they'll definitely be doing that on a desktop.
This is looking about as good as I thought it would look.
I posted in general my rendition that I tried.
Oh, I gotta make this all blue up here.
I'm somewhat of an artist myself.
This is perfect. This is exactly like, okay, so tell me when I'm showing the logo versus when I'm showing my screen.
Oh, I can't even tell.
You're closer than he is. I'll tell you that.
I mean, that would have been smart. That should have been a river right there. I'm an idiot. That would have been way cooler.
You can make better edges with the river. However, you have lost like control.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
It's still gonna look bad.
Density on that water.
Next one. Make a baseball.
Baseball. Hold on. First, I got to finish this.
Nah, that one's done.
I think we know.
This one's done.
Stick a fork in it. It's done.
Does look a little, you can do a lot better lines with the water. So there's going to be some interesting stuff. So one of our QA guys made a Yoshi's egg.
Nice.
Someone made King Boo, which was obviously, he's a circle, so that's not too hard.
What is it?
And then a Boo from Mario, you know, the ghost guy.
Oh, yeah. Boo. You said a Boo. I was thinking the monkey from Aladdin.
Yes, that would be intense.
I was like, what?
What was I making? Sorry. A baseball? I'm just looking it up for reference. I know what a baseball is.
Dead.
I just want to get the lines.
You think we know sports here?
Yeah, I haven't been outside.
That's
like
the one with months. The checker things on it, right? I got you.
It's the one where you knock down all the pins, I think.
That's awesome. Make a bowling ball next.
I'll do a bowling ball right now. So we're going to go...
Dead. This is easier, guys. Sorry.
That one. And then we're going to get a slightly darker one. And we're going to go... let's get this back out. Like that one. All right. It's beautiful.
Damn, that's nice. Also doubles as a coconut.
Yeah. We can make it a coconut. This is one of my favorite things about this is they can just go into the color gradient right here and just start changing it live, basically. So here, let's go to... more coconutty color.
Nice.
There you go. Do that. And then I think it's darker.
I'm getting a little pareidolia from it too. I mean, that's definitely a face going, oh.
All right, there you go. Now it's a coconut.
Awesome.
So think about this. You can do amazing things like this with this. Like, we're doing a showcase. Oh, yeah, we're doing a baseball. I won't weasel out of this. I'll give my best effort. Trying to think of anything else that's changed. Oh, yeah, the other thing, too, we have decided to host our own infrastructure as well. So I don't know if you guys know the service QuickNode.
They had a grant from Project Dawn, which is Terra's project to fund more Cosmwasm infrastructure, or Cosmos and Cosmwasm infrastructure.
So what is the difference for a noob, non-coder guy like me? What's the difference between Cosmos and Cosmwasm?
Okay, so...
that's a nice baseball, by the way.
So Cosmos SDK... I guess there's three things there. There's the Cosmos SDK, there's Cosmos, and then there's Cosmwasm. So the Cosmos SDK... is a platform to run your own proof of stake using Tendermint consensus mechanism. So that's any chain that Binance Smart Chain, Cosmos, Luna, Secret, you get the idea, any of those Cosmos SDK projects. Cosmos is the flagship for Cosmos. I don't know their organization name, but that's how they kind of showcase all their features. And then Cosmwasm is a a smart contract language written in Rust that runs on, that can be easily added to any Cosmos SDK project.
Okay.
Not all Cosmos SDK projects has a CosmWasm implemented. So for example, ThorChain, SiftChain, and Osmosis all don't run Cosmos SDK on top because they want to have their chain be application specific, and they don't want other people to permissionlessly put smart contracts on there to interfere with their transactions.
You're now a developer. Congratulations.
Yep.
You know, you're not the first person to tell me that.
No, sir. No.
Speaking of developers, I believe that gentleman there is a developer as well. Are you looking forward to this open sourcing here that's going to happen?
Oh, paper-handed rug machine? You're a dev?
That's one of my devs.
I will strangle you in your sleep, sir. Oh,
we put in hard time up at Knox. Hard Knox.
Smart contract, front end.
Oh, no.
He's full of shit.
Community wrangling.
Oh, community wrangling.
I think I did the smart contract button pressing. I didn't actually write it, though. That was pre-written by somebody else who also probably didn't write it, but just copy-pasted somebody else's. So, you know.
Hey, man.
Make it work is a very important skill.
I mean, if you need a customizable rewards token on the shit chain, you holler at your boy. I will copy and paste you one right up.
That's your dev. That counts.
That's your, by shit chain, you mean Binance Smart Chain?
Yeah, that's the one.
Nice.
I don't think I've ever interacted with Binance Smart Chain, and I don't know if that's a good thing.
Fine.
Would you like to? I can send you.
You're mostly not missing much. There was a major gold rush, like at the beginning of the year in the SafeMoon era, but it's just like legitimately 99% of the contracts being launched are fucking traps.
Isn't SafeMoon a shitcoin though?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
They're all shitcoins. They're all Ponzi pump and dump.
Ponzi dump.
It's not Ponzi. I was farming some pancake or some cake at like $1 a token at one point.
Yeah, not all of it for sure. 99% of it is either a scam or a Ponzi or just a straight up rug pull though.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Honeypots and rugs.
Some legitimate profitable services though.
If you can make money off of it, is it still Ponzi?
Yeah, because the top is always making more.
I did a little SafeMoon earlier in the year, like you said, and I think I still have some cake auto compiling somewhere, which I haven't even bothered to look at in months.
Oh yeah, I made a fuck ton of money, but it was all essentially from taking it from people. You know, that's the problem.
Oh, no,
first in, last
out.
I don't play Binance
chain excessively. Little known Binance chain. People don't know much about it. It's got no smart contracts, but I used it a bunch because ThorChain did their first ChaosNet, the single chain one, using them as like a good test net, and there's some decent rewards to be had on there when that was going on.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely do good stuff with it. It just doesn't attract good people.
Well, actually, that wasn't. That's not even Binance Smart Chain. That's just Binance Chain, which is a separate chain that uses CosmWasm. Oh, not CosmWasm. That uses the Cosmos SDK.
Hey, for the mint for you guys, are you going to do it on your own site, or where are you thinking of doing it?
Yep, so we're hosting it on our own site. It's at intergalacticplanetary.com or .io.
So it doesn't exist yet. We have the domain. It's intergalacticplanetary.io. Once the website goes live, you can click this little menu up here. There's a mint button. Connect your wallet up. You're good to go.
The stuff you can see, though, if you go to their Twitter, there's a Gitbook where you can check out like all the cool aspects of it.
Yeah, I've been following them, and I've seen a lot of the stuff, but I haven't checked out the Gitbook yet.
It's a cool read.
The Q&A section goes through, I think, a good amount of it, at least I think at a top level. And once we release, by the way, like if you're curious about the Base64 format, I have a Google Doc I've already half written that explains how everything's encoded. So that's going to be thrown into the Gitbook after launch. So if somebody is more technically interested in like how this is being done, that all that info will be available as well.
All right, cool. Everything you're doing then, because I was wondering about like the data storage we were just talking about before, per transaction is really just a snapshot of everything that you've changed. It's not an aggregation of all the changes you made. It's just a snapshot of the changes.
Yeah, I would say it's a snapshot of the current state, because the change would imply that it's based off of something previous, right? So it's just like, it just takes a look at the current state and says, yep, and it rewrites the entire planet to the chain. There's probably a more complicated way where you could be like, you know, like if I, let's say I saved this already, and then I just did this, you know, technically, like you could do a quick transaction to move that data, but it gets a lot more complicated contract side, because now you're asking the contract to do extra work to determine what data mutated, then change it. In our case,
you base 64 and code it.
Yeah, that makes it even worse. So, because that, for example, like this vertices height only takes up, I think, let's say it takes up a half of a base 64 character. So now you're getting into the weeds of how the contract susses out what's different. And one of the reasons why gas is so cheap to save these is because when it gets to Eric's contract, the contract looks at it, says, yep, that's string, and it saves it right away. So there's not a lot of processing happening, which cuts down on gas like immensely. So there's like not a lot going on there. Very simple design.
The gas is going to be higher for minting, but that's just because, especially if we're doing the in the whitelist, it's going to be less than $1 still. Probably around 30 cents is what I'm noticing, but there's just more processing going on in the minting.
Yeah, I don't think people really care how much the transaction cost is during minting, because it is usually around $1, if not less. Yeah. The cost per transaction is good that it's 5, because like XYZ was at 25, then they lowered it to 15, or some are still 25. Then I'm doing like staking or claiming staking with space loot, and each of those transactions cost 75, which, you know, it's not a lot, but like per every time I go to claim what I stake, that's still, you know, that adds up after a little while. So to see just 5 for you guys is pretty good.
Yeah, and it was something where we were thinking, like, let's say it's, you know, it's Christmas soon. I want it to not be that big of a decision for you to go and make your planet Christmas themed. Like 5, like a nickel is not that much of a question. So like obviously to increase interaction and creativity in the space, that gas fee had to be like low as possible. Try desert here, I think. We got cactuses, so I feel like it's important to try them out. That's too yellow. It's kind of sandy. Oh yeah, sorry, Eric texted me. So here's a picture on my screen. So let's talk a little bit more about that format that's in the contract. So I showed you that message where it said like GO1 and then all the base 64 characters and such. So you may have heard something when I was talking about when this data is saved to the contract. It doesn't really check the data. It just saves it to the NFT. So since we're not doing any strict typing, I guess, in terms of the data format, that means that at any time we can design a new planet format. So what I'm showing you guys here is something I prototyped, I think, 2 weekends ago. But basically, I thought it'd be interesting, like after launch, let's make some new planet formats, because it would be interesting for people to be able to choose, do you want to make the base icosphere model? Do you want to make a gas giant? Or in this case, do you want to make almost like a Minecraft-y block world, right? So this is another prototype we're doing that we're probably going to do after launch, where once we kind of finalize how this all clicks together and how it works on the UI, I'll be able to base 64 this with assets on top of it too, obviously. And then you'll be able to save a planet that looks like this. And then it'll seamlessly stitch into the galaxy. So like, let's go to a solar system again. So in the future, if we release this format, you could go into this system and see like 2 circle planets and then just a random Minecraft world there, like a blocky world. And then you could see a gas giant over there. And the nice thing about the contract being really open, just whatever it takes, is this is all a question of front-end implementation. I just need to go in here, write the render, write the editor, and then find a way to encode it to fit in the contract, and then we're good to go. We don't have to do a remint. We don't have to update the contract. It's just done. So that's kind of something interesting to look out for in the future, because we're going to introduce more of these to make the art more, I guess, dynamic and unique potentially. But this is still in early phases. I can't demo this right now. I yanked it out of the current code because I don't want it in there for production, just so it's not causing blind errors for something that's not there yet.
Yeah. I think it's definitely worth mentioning, if you haven't already mentioned it, going back to like, what else can you do in the future without necessarily overpromising what you think you're going to be able to do.
Mm, totally. Yeah, I think our roadmap is super vague right now. It's actually, let's go laugh at ourselves on Twitter and just make fun of that. Intergalactic planetary. The link is always there on Twitter, by the way. Yeah, I think for important dates and roadmap, I think we updates to front end, add features, maintain device compatibilities. Yeah, it's going to be like for a year. We promise to make sure that's all working for sure. Release additional scenery models. We're going to have more of them. I actually just messaged R3D Modeler and asked him for some a couple more things. But yeah, we don't have it in here. So yeah, that should go in here because that's basically a promise. I just really want to do that. So yeah, fleshing out this would actually be a pretty solid plan. Just getting a couple more solid bullets of like, here's what's actually going to happen. So
you go ahead and edit that roadmap, toss up, edit the roadmap on the roadmap. And then when we get to that spot on the roadmap, we'll be good to go.
That'd be perfect. I think I also, a while ago I tweeted at Trevor, or I think I said it in the AMA that if we mint out, he has to shave his head or something. I wonder if he's actually going to do that. I don't think he is. I think he made the situation way too difficult. Because I think we need to mint out, and then also Vlad's project needs to mint out. But we could just buy out our own project and mint out technically, and then he has to shave his head. So that's another option.
Yeah, I'd for sure buy out Vlad's as need be. Also, welcome, Jay. Feel free to ask any questions. We're kind of just doing an informal AMA, showing off any of the features. This is live on our test net that we're showing you here.
Yeah. So if you want me to draw something for you, like a smiley face, perhaps I can just do that. Here we go. It's happening. There you go. That's cute. So yeah. Basically anything that you want us to go over, click around the UI, just let us know. We can show you kind of what the current state is and what's probably going to be at launch. In fact, everything you're seeing right now is going to,
yeah, this smiley face will be a feature.
All planets will mandatorily have the smiley face, and you won't be able to edit it. We're going to rug the project and just put smiley faces on everyone's planets. Still haven't done a desert yet. I'm going to try to do that. I always like can't get the style looking good, in my opinion. It ends up looking kind of trash. But deserts do have oases, and I like the water, so it's getting where it's going.
And are you guys going to have like a screenshot or like a way to download when, if somebody wants to like show theirs off or whatever, or share it?
Yeah. So let's talk about that. That's a good question.
So there's a feature built into most computers that involves screenshots.
Don't be sassy with me, boy.
So that's a good thing. We're like on the UI, we don't necessarily have anything, but one thing you can do is, I don't know how well you guys can see the this isn't like I'm that far. Let's go back out to the galaxy. Like, let's say you own a planet. Let's say, for example, we own this one. Let's go into it. You could hand around this URL, one. So if you go to intergalacticplanetary.io/planet/4, if you just gave them this, it will navigate to this. So if you want just to send somebody a link, you can just do that. In terms of sending a picture, there's unfortunately is nothing on the UI yet that like does like a screen cap or like a GIF capture, but that would be really cool if you could get a basically like, cause in the screen, they're rotating, right? The planets are spinning around.
Yeah. I just want a way to like be able to set that as my profile picture and have it animated and float around and just kind of like give the finger to everyone that doesn't have one.
Yeah. You basically want like something like this,
you know, the vibes. Yeah. Yeah. There it is.
So, like, yeah, this was done on like, you know, my computer using something else. But yeah, like this would be interesting to add. I don't know if we will, especially right away. But yeah, sharing some of this stuff is always interesting. But yeah, hopefully people are going to be able to organically discover things as well. Like that's, I think what I've mentioned before, like I'm hoping that people just go here and even if you don't own anything, like you just know about the project and you just start clicking around, even if it is just a laugh at the names of the solar systems. But let's look for a good one.
So wait, when you do this part, isn't this how you, if I'm just coming into the site and I'm looking and I'm browsing essentially, and I click on one of those and I'm not the owner of it, I can't view what the progress is?
Oh, you can. Yeah, I can go in any of these. So I can go into the poor rug system. Actually, let's go to, I don't like the name of that. They're all lame around here. So you can go in any solar system you want. It doesn't matter. once like you edit the planet on the blockchain, so like going back to the ones I was editing earlier that I owned, once you edit that, that is now public data. If someone goes to that solar system or goes to your planet, they will see what you've just done. Right. So, and all these planets are open game. So like, let's say we mint out, if everyone draws on their planet, you could just sit here and click around and see what people are making. Like, that's totally an option.
Right. Okay. Cause yeah, I get Finn's question that what if I wanted to share it with someone? Yeah. Just take a screenshot or give them the coordinates from the URL, but they also could just come in here, browse and randomly land on your planet or just be looking around for the hell of it.
Yeah, that's cool. And that's probably where people want like the center ones, the center spots, because it's like the center of the universe and people like to be that, you know.
Unless, here, where's that one system?
That is pretty cool though.
Hold on, I gotta find this. Here, this is the real alpha. Oh, here it is. The Toxic Turtle system. Name might change. I haven't finished that algorithm fully yet. But there's one solar system that has one planet in it, and it's the final mint. If we mint out, someone gets 5,000, they get a very lonely solar system at the edge of the galaxy with one planet, and that's theirs.
Nice.
I think it's kind of fun.
That's where I'm going to retire.
So, like, I think it'll be interesting. I do hope that it ends up it being an experience where, like, we get a good, decent mint, so enough planets are edited, and people just find this, and they just kind of play around with it as, like, a toy. Because even like if I was like still in school and I had access just to toy around with the sandbox tool while I was sitting in class,
for real.
I could totally do that.
Yeah.
I want to like put it in my like Google AR thing, or not AR, but like the cardboard, like the VR thing that it does in the phone, and then like just kind of view it that way and be able to like turn your head and have it track and stuff. So when you guys could build that, that'd be dope.
What was the there's a project that has AR? I think, is it that whale?
Oh, the whales have AR. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they did that. And someone said, like, you guys should do that too. Because I was like, oh, yeah, that's a really good idea. I don't know if I have time to, but that would be very cool to have it on your desk and you could, like, look around.
Just have it, like, hovering in orbit of, like, your keyboard or some shit.
You go into AR and it's just, like, the full galaxies in front of you. I'm not promising this, by the way. But, like, I totally understand the aesthetic of it.
Like, in Prometheus, where they, like, bring up the map of the galaxy in Prometheus. That was a terrible movie, but that part was dope.
That's exactly. We're remaking Prometheus, actually. That's the roadmap. Phase 2 is remaking that.
If you go to their team page, you'll actually notice LucasArts is listed there. They'll be...
Yeah.
ILM will be providing the special effects.
You can't see it. It's really small, but it's up there.
Not true. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah,
dude, I left Prometheus thinking it was the worst movie, and yet I've watched it so many times.
I like the idea of it, and I wanted it to be so good because the idea of it could have been so fucking good, but then it just, yeah.
Can I stream audio with us?
Yeah, if you play like a VLC or something, and whoever's watching your stream should be able to hear it.
Can you guys hear like music right now? No. I'm curious.
I heard your notification sound.
Did I do a stream settings? Stream quality. Come on, man. I just want to play this. So there's music on the UI too.
It all comes from the browser though, right?
Yep.
Comes from the browser. And you're streaming the browser window, right?
Oh, do you have to stream specifically the browser window to do it?
Maybe.
Or maybe stream the whole screen.
I'm doing the whole screen right now.
Yeah, but I think for audio to play, because otherwise it doesn't know. I could just be making that up, though.
Yeah, but it's a good guess. I like it. Let's go with this.
Yeah, now we can.
Nice.
So... Yeah, so basically, this is like, unfortunately, with most browsers, you need to initiate a touch event to kick off music. And also, I don't want to blast people with music if they're like somewhere where they don't want to hear it. But yeah, you have the music controls right here. And then so when you're mucking around in the galaxy, you got something to listen to.
And little do you know, that's actually Theo on the piano playing.
Right now, yeah. If you go to the website, I'm actually live playing the piano just for you.
Every time you click the audio button, it like lets him know to go get to his piano and play you.
And I won't take credit for the song either. This is one of our friends from high school. We commissioned him to make this. And once again, this will be royalty free. So if you like it enough, like by all means, yoink it.
Also, welcome, Alvin. We're just doing a kind of a showcase of the... our planets on the testnet, editing them, answering any questions. So feel free to ask us anything. We'll answer it, and yeah, hopefully you enjoy it.
Attempt number 3 at this desert planet.
Morse code. I like it. I'd like to see you guys hit up the dude from UAPX and get some of them UFOs flying around in there. And he also did some cool background.
I think he DM'd me. Hold on.
Told him to. That's my bad. But he did he did some cool music on their page, like cool alien kind of music. And it'd be cool if you could get some of these other projects that are making music and stuff that are like fitting to the theme, obviously, to get their like songs in the player.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, I think this track that we're going to have in here is like 10 minutes long, I think. So like, it's not like an infinitely long track, but it was just something. It needed it, you know?
Yeah, it sets the atmosphere.
Yeah.
See what I did.
Speaking of which, yeah, I can do that right now.
Hey, here's a question we maybe should have started out with. Have you guys done this on any other chains?
No, this is Terra's first one. This project is unique to Terra.
This type of work with the 3D and the engine, have you tried that on another chain before?
No.
Okay.
I think it's totally doable though. Like anything that has contracts is totally possible.
This is plug and play on any Cosmos chain running the Cosmwasm.
Yeah. Trying to draw an oasis. If I'm making something weird, that's what I'm trying to make in the desert. Get some palm trees going. Well, yeah, so basically that's the extent of the project. Something that's hopefully chill to go mess around with, you know, if you're bored one day. I mean, that's kind of the point of all games, right? It's some sort of escapism, right?
Yeah.
Planetary Annihilation, yes.
Now you're talking my language.
Dude, you should play Zero K, by the way, if you haven't played that. We're bullish on Zero K, an open source RTS game.
If I had time to play games.
I think it's the origin of, like, will DuckDuckDo it? Okay, yeah, do it. It's open source, it's free on Steam. I think it's fun, but you might not, but that's okay. Zero K, I'll type right here.
People are not like real-time strategy, it's amazing.
Yeah, go play Zero K. I don't know if you guys read the server rules, but we settle disputes with jousting tournaments. I think we should change it to Zero K matches.
That's a good point. 1v1 people.
I won't be one any of you guys in Zero K.
Joust like the Atari game? Or like full-on in-person horses and armor?
It's unblunted, too. Okay. Like it's pointed. So, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, you know, we thought that was important for people to know before they joined our server.
I mean, you guys always read those, right?
Yeah, you guys read the rules, right? Like, you're all part of this now. Where's the palm trees? You gotta get some palm trees going.
My brother-in-law sent me a screenshot of him trying to put out a limit order for Bitcoin, and he set the price all wrong, so he's trying to buy one Bitcoin for $500. He's looking for that floor wick.
He's looking for when the order book bottoms out.
And he's like, what do I need to change on this? I'm like, well, it looks like you're never going to buy any.
Maybe put in a real price and you'll probably get something.
Yeah. Also, get off of Coinbase app. Go to Coinbase Pro. You're going to save a ton of fees.
That's true.
You might get one of those sketchy wicks on Binance, though. I got one, was it like 2 months ago on Binance? It dropped all the way down to 30 something when it was at 60, and one of my limit orders kicked in.
I mean, that's why they do that shit, right? I always assume they did that shit on purpose to kick limit orders out like that.
There's a flash crash with TZ tweeted out, like, make sure you always put in a stop loss, and then it wicked like right below the stop loss and went back up. So a bunch of people just sold at the bottom.
Dicks.
Right
before it
went back up. The smaller the exchange, the more often they do that stuff too. Like KuCoin does that stuff to people all the time.
Do they?
That's why I don't fuck with.
Yeah, just little, like, especially on the bigger boys, they do flash crashing regularly.
Yeah, I'm never really on exchanges.
I keep just not learning how to do futures enough to actually want to do the YOLO.
I guess I did do some futures this year. KuCoin gave me like a discount to do like some trading right the first time Doge was mooning. So I'm like, all right, there was just 40 cents, time to put out a short. So I did that, and then I went down to 30 cents, then I doubled down, and then I got liquidated when Doge went back up to 45.
Yeah.
But
you never short the dog.
Nah. If they're going to give me free money, I was going to do it with 20x leverage.
Zero Halo. I'm surprised you guys haven't heard the Project Visitor game from back in the day. It's up your alley with this kind of stuff.
Visitor game?
It was called Project Visitor. It was a Sega MMO back in the day that was RTS and first person, persistent, always guarding your land. It was a really cool game. The map was a whole planet.
Actually, let's go to images.
It was just too far, too before its time.
Am I looking at it right now?
So, I mean, the whole point was like to mine your lithium from the ground type of deal, defend your bases, and you can do it from RTS mode or first person. Super cool game.
Oh, you know what? There's a not a ripoff. There was another game that tried to do that. I think it's called Executive Assault on Steam. It was an early access title, and they tried to do the same thing. Top-down RTS mode, but then also you could control individual units. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. No, that's a really cool idea. I don't think I've seen many games execute on that idea super well, at least lately.
Yeah. No, but it was a rare feat that they were able to do. We all played it like crazy as kids before WoW came out, Final Fantasy XI.
I need another Oasis, I think. You know, I like how that looks. Like the rocks.
Sega ended up like selling it back to the original developer, and he runs private servers out of his basement now, which is pretty cool.
So, like, does he like make money off of that, or is that just like it's just like his thing?
I would assume so. I haven't checked into it in a long time, but one of my buddies never stopped really playing it. Him and that the owner are homies, and so.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, we should just start streaming Zero K and just all play that. That sounds fun too.
Sorry, guys. Project scrapped. We will be moving to Zero K. Dead.
All right, and some more pine trees. Oh yeah, and also like just like in terms of I think something that I'll try to do after release, part of our work that I want to have out is kind of our process for some of these things. Like I'll show you. Are you guys interested in seeing the Blender file for this, by the way?
I want to see all the things.
So like yeah, let me go into here.
Show that
Blender. So this is the Blender file that we're kicking around right now. You're basically Oh, you don't see it? Oh, you know why? Because I shared the screen for the audio to go through. Let me reshare. Sorry, everyone. I got to kick you out of the stream and redo it. I'll stop doing this. I just wanted to show off our boys' music. All right, you can go back in now. Yeah, here's the Blender file for all this stuff. So everything in here was modeled by partially me or one of our guys named Tanner. And like, so we based it all off like this is a 1x1x1 cube, and we kind of kept everything framed to that size. Because obviously, if you export the collection, you can scale up or down from there, like as a whole. So everything just needs to be sized relative to each other, and then you're totally good to go. But yeah, so like all these are individual models, they're placed out in the grid, and we have a way to basically render them with a mutated color. So if we go into like, let's go to shading. I can change the shading color on the fly and just like see what happens to it. And this is basically what we do in the browser as well. I had to write a little quick shader script here to do this, but we can do this then. And then one thing that would be a pain in the ass is like exporting all these. So we actually have some automation scripts that will open source as well, which picks through this entire file and moves all of them to the middle so their origins are zeroed out, exports them as a PLY, and then you can pack them into like a WAD file, which we deliver to the front end. So they had some automation stuff that we had to kind of design. I'm sure people have done better, but just ways to make the whole development process a lot quicker. So things like that, I want to make a little bit more open book as well. So if people want to replicate something like this or, you know, do something similar, it's a little easier because there's some framework there in place. But yeah, like this Blender file will be opened up if anyone wants this, and then also those scripts are going to be available. So feel free to ask questions about Blender too. It's definitely on the table as well.
I don't know anything about that, but that as you were describing it, I was thinking of whether you were going to have, you know, sort of like add-on packs later and or give people the ability to create their own within a defined template, similar to what Finn said earlier about having templates for the planets.
Yeah. So one thing that we did add recently into the spec, at least, is the models I'm looking at here are defined as model pack zero. So while we don't have the models on chain, what we can do is if somebody like was really into the project and they decide to 3D model, you know, 64 models, we could take that, compress it into a package, and then we could mark it as model pack one. And then we could give you an option here to flip between them. And then that way you could use different model packs. So it's unfortunately a bit of a centralized process in terms of adding those, but we do want to open that up to the community where if you want to, like, let's say we have a competition to add some models in, we do think that that'd be awesome to be just taking community feedback and input and then adding those to official model packs or adding people's non-official model packs to the UI. Because then those would actually work across all the screens too. So like if you chose model pack number one versus this one, which is zero, as long as that gets saved in the contract, we can replicate that on anybody's computer. So probably not the best answer because it's not like it's all on chain and distributed, but there is the options there to add on to this and create more variety in the space.
Can we bring items like from outside?
Like outside as in...
maybe from other projects or from something we created on our own?
Oh, yeah. So like if you found like a 3D model in another app that you liked, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that would be an option. Like if we do a competition or something like that for like adding 3D models, if you find like a... it would have to be free to use because we technically did take profit for this project, so we could get in legal trouble. Like if you took Mario's 3D model from Odyssey and then gave it that to us, that could land us in some hot water. But if there's just like a 0K, we talked about an open source game, if you stole a model from that and we all agreed that it was good, we could add that in. We'd probably try to make it aesthetically match, but basically if you can 3D model it and we can render it on a browser, like don't make it a million polygons ideally. Like that's totally something that could be added to a pack in the future. We don't really know what the framework's going to be in terms of laying that out, but it'll all be explained before we end up going down that road. So, but yes, you could take a model from another thing and try to use that.
How about like, for example, if I want to bring my Divana Dragon inside, is that possible or probably need?
I think like if making it highly personalized is going to be difficult. Like if you have a very specific model for like your own stuff, that's probably not in the cards. But like technically you could add like a dragon 3D model and then have that as kind of a generic set piece on the planet. But I think like getting really individual, like you have your own personal models for your planet, that might be out of the cards for this project. It's going to have to be more of a generic thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. I might have missed it because I joined late. Is the solar systems or is it based on like the real world or it's like it's something that you imagine?
Oh, like the Milky Way or something.
Yes.
No, unfortunately, I mean there's a spiral to it. We didn't replicate off of that. We did a spiral galaxy and we just used random noise to place the planets. The random noise is highly deterministic in that meaning every time you load this page, those stars will be in the same place. Like, so everything's okay. Going to be placed there. But yeah, it's all like algorithmic.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I might have missed that part as well. There's going to be like avatars, right?
Or avatars, you said?
Right? Yeah, like my equivalent in my planet, for example.
There's no way to tie, like, let's say, I'm going to interpret that as like, let's say you have like a Galactopunk, right? There's no way to like associate a Galactopunk with a planet necessarily. What we could do, and I guess this would be like an integration with another project. Like, let's say you own, let's just go to a planet. Let's say you own this planet. Hypothetically, we could query the owner of this planet and then query the Galactopunk's contract and see which one you own. But I don't know if we're planning on doing that right away. I'll just say it's possible that it can be done. We don't really know about integrations with other projects quite yet.
Okay. No, I was asking that question because, like, for example, if I want to show off like my planet to, my friends, it becomes like a hangout place. So it would be nice, like, if we can see, like, you know, an avatar version of ourselves on the planet. I'm not sure if that's something that's you know, that's part of the project, though.
It might be out of scope right now because you're kind of, I think you're talking more of like metaverse, correct?
Something like that.
So I think right now we're not super fixated on getting it to be like a metaverse thing, at least at this stage of the project. But in terms of sharing, like I think I mentioned, maybe I did, like there are links up here. So like right now, like if you owned this planet, you could give out the link intergalacticplanetary.io/planet/7, where 7 is your planet ID. And like when they load this page, they would go right back to it. So you can share it pretty easily. But in terms of like having a metaverse space where you all hang out together, that might be out of scope for us, unfortunately.
Okay, that's okay. Thank you.
Yep, of course. Yeah, and as always, feel free to ask us any questions. Like nothing's really going to place us in hot water. Like if you find something that ends up being sketchy or scummy, then it's like, okay, we just have to address it. So that's kind of the methodology with this. So you basically know all the alpha. It's all in the Git book, relatively speaking. The only thing that isn't fully released yet is the info that our mint is dropping down to $30 UST and something like that. So, which is just going to be announced tomorrow. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, I think a while ago we did an AMA. Were you in AMA for that? Yeah, we were. So we were on our Twitter and we were talking about that. And I was saying like, yeah, I mean, like if for whatever reason Luna Moon suddenly, and like here we are at $75 Luna, and it's like, it's not like Moon yet, but it's definitely outpricing people in terms of buying like a little art project on Terra. So that explains the drop. Eric, would you send me?
Oh, just a fun little meme. I'll put it in Discord general, in the general chat.
Feel free to share posts in general. Like yeah, we're pretty loose with in terms of how this Discord operates.
Naeed Bukele was asked how he buys his Bitcoin, and he said over the phone. So it's pretty much the Bogdanov meme.
Who does he call? Like, I guess he just call like a broker who says he knows how to use Coinbase. Like, how does that work?
No, he probably calls someone who does OTC, which probably to be honest.
Sure, he could be buying enough to cause actually a decent amount of slippage.
Not really.
Why is he calling a guy?
You got, is everyone familiar with Wonderland? It's the Ohm fork on Avalanche run by the OG Daniel. So he also bought the dip with Wonderland's treasury funds, and that DeFi project bought more of the dip than the country of El Salvador did.
Yeah, when the leader of El Salvador tweeted out they bought the dip, I was like, you know, for a country that's like not like a crazy amount, how much do they buy again?
A few million, like 70 million or something.
It would be funny if he tweeted out, guys, we bought the dip, and he like bought like 0.2 BTC.
Yeah. Well, you have to like think like there's DeFi projects with like the amount of treasury that rivals like El Salvador's.
That is true. El Salvador is like, yeah, that's fair. I approach it with the GDP of like a large nation, which isn't always fair.
Hey, so technical question. This engine runs within the browser or does it run local?
This is all in the browser. So this will work on ideally any browser you have. So the internal piping is all done with, whoop, there you go. Here's the code, everybody. Sneak peek. Look at the shader. Isn't that fun? So let's take a look at the engine. So I'm not going to like ask us to interpret this like in real time, but like this is all done. Geez, I have too much open here. This is all done with 3JS, by the way. So it's a React app. And then for all like the piping to WebGL and things like that, we're using 3JS to like render things. And what I have here is a really basic engine class. This guy's in charge of understanding where all the objects are in the world, going through a render loop. So like every, I think I target 60 FPS. And then it goes through a render loop, renders everything, and keeps the world running. So that's the internal piping. React is handling all the UI. 3JS is running the under stuff. And 3JS itself is just a wrapper for WebGL. And that's how that kind of works.
Yeah. I guess to make another point, we store zero data when you interact with our website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
there's we'll be no able to cookies. Audit our code if you want to confirm that.
Yeah, we don't need to know where you're going or how often you're on our website. So it's the website's very much standalone. If you want to, you could just clone the repo and then just run it yourself if you don't believe that. So you know, just like with Anchor, you know, just download Anchor and then run it. You can do that, right? You can pull the repo and just start running it.
Yeah, you can run and Mir. If you know how to like spin up just anything on JS, you can do Mir and Anchor.
If you know how to do git clone and npm start, you should be good to go with this project as well. So we'll have guides on that. Yeah, totally do it. Let us know if things are weird too, because once again, the goal is to have this kind of as not a template for future projects, but something to look back to if you're like, you know, I know this project did something with that. What did they do? You can just pick through it and see what's happening. I'll try to make the code nice for you to look at too. But
The reason I asked about the engine was because I was thinking about load on the site, but then the transactions won't be load because they're asynchronous and are randomly transmitted. And then
we're also running our own FCD client. So we're not going to bog down other FCD clients by any requests.
Hang on. I think I forgot the command to do this. Oh, there it goes. Okay, here's what I'm doing right now, if you're curious. I'm running a production-grade build. I'll tell you how big the application is in terms of, like, stuff that's stored. It's not that big. So, like, in terms of hosting this, it's going to be done on AWS. So we'll be using CloudFront, and it'll be hosted on an S3 bucket. And then for the other stuff, like Eric just said, we're launching our own infrastructure. We'll have an API that we're also running in AWS. And that will route traffic to our private LCD instance. So yeah, what we're providing basically, I almost said hashing power, but that's not accurate. We're providing bandwidth to data on the Terra blockchain, and we're utilizing just for ourselves, but we're not going to like, you know, punish everyone else in the world who is just trying to use Anchor if our website kicks off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point when it comes to minting. So then, because I know other projects have had issues with, using the TFL RPC nodes instead of their own, right, for that initial load of transactions for the mint.
Yeah, and luckily it's not that long of like a thing. Like it, like your minting event usually will be chaotic for maybe 15 minutes. So like I generally don't think it's that big of a deal personally. But since we're like hosting, like if you ask for planet data, each planet can be like 4 kilobytes, which in and of itself it's not a big deal. But now let's say like we just have 2,000 users just going in between solar systems nonstop. Like, okay, well, now we're starting to talk about maybe the megabytes or gigabyte scale. So it makes sense for us to pay for that to go out. And I think we will probably ease off the gas on our own server. Like if the traffic really starts to die down, then we'll just point to the FCD again. But, you know, definitely for launch and stuff, we don't know what's going to happen. So I'd rather our server crash than us cause some sort of issue while people are trying to not get liquidated or something fun like that.
Yeah, and actually that's a good point. At first I wasn't getting what you were saying, but yeah, I think that's a legit reason to do that. The only thing I would say is like whatever you could do to mitigate any, because 5,000 isn't a lot. It's definitely less than 10,000, obviously. But like I know dealing with the mints that I've dealt with where we had those projects that had those RPC issues, and yeah, it wasn't just that they brought out other TFL apps, it was also that people got pissed when they couldn't mint and or when transactions were failing and they're getting charged, which doesn't happen on Terra a lot like it does on ETH. But like those little things, like, you know, they set bad first impressions for people, and it's hard to recover from those.
Totally. And just also to answer kind of just if you're curious, so with all the assets, it looks like our website, like if you downloaded everything, is not the planets, obviously those come from the API, but like just the thing to make the website, 9.78 megabytes, but most of that's taken up by the music. So like if I just, I can just delete these. If I got rid of the models, actually keep the models. Let's just get rid of the music because that's really the big boy. We're going to try to make that tighter, of course, but I don't really know how much we can do. I don't want to sacrifice the music quality just because I'm being cheap. So like the website by itself and the models are 480 kilobytes. So it's pretty tight. Like it's not a heavy website. Not that we're shipping anything too crazy, but this is kind of like the cost in terms of our server. Like we have to hand that out to people. But then once you get it once, it's cached. So then you don't ask us again.
Right.
So yeah, won't be too bad. Kind of want that music back.
Got to go on my other laptop that's got more juice.
Yeah, I mean, this runs on my Samsung Galaxy. So you should be good no matter what device you're using. I tried it on an iPad. when I can steal my wife's iPhone again, I'll try it there again. But it worked the first time I tested. So the requirements for this is pretty slim. I think the only thing I realize right now is if you have an iPhone, you just have to make sure you're updated to, is it 15.0? Was it September release? I don't really know. But as long as you're in the latest OS, I think you're good there. It seems like Android phones were good for quite a while before that. And then Safari on like Mac OS, and then everything on Windows and Linux seems to be working fine. So pick your poison, basically. It should work almost everywhere.
I voted for desktop, but it's funny you say that. My iPhone just told me that 15.1 is available for me to install, and I haven't installed it yet.
Yeah, I had them text you that just so you have it. Yeah, so
Siri overheard our conversation and knew to prompt me.
So yeah, if you got that, you're good. Before that, honestly, the only thing that broke if you don't have that is this: the water, the shader doesn't work. So you just see, you don't see the foam lines and like all the rims, which I think is super important personally, but I assume most people could overlook it. But that's literally the only thing that broke. Now everything's good. I do still recommend desktop, of course, because this just feels better to manage over there. Like, well, I guess you can simulate it. Let's do that. Let's go into this. If you don't know how to test webs, oh, I should launch the website again, probably. Let's do that first. Sorry, everyone. If you don't know how to test websites very well, Chrome is very nice. Also, most browsers in general are very nice at this point. Let's go into sandbox mode again.
I like to use Brave. Shout out to Brave.
Brave probably has these too. You can switch it to like emulate a smartphone. So now I'm on, oh yeah, that's going to go off. This is just in dev mode. Something with the wallet connection repo is messed up. I don't know what it is. But yeah, so like this is me, like you can see a little circle thing. This is emulating touches on like a display. So I can, this still works over there. Obviously you don't know for sure until you test it out fully. But like, you know, everything still seems to kind of work over there, which is nice. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I'm sure if we get complaints about the site having issues, it will be on mobile though, just because it's hard to pack a game in there for both desktop and mobile.
Yeah, I don't envision doing it on mobile, but it's cool that you can at least seemingly support it.
Yeah, I think it was more of a thing too, where it's like, let's say you have a planet and like, I don't know, you're at a convention and you're really amped about it. You can walk up to somebody and like show them your planet on your phone, because that's like a pretty easy thing. Like you're not trying to interact with it that much. You're just trying to like have it rendered for someone so to look at. So like, I think that's a good way to do it. Or let's say you just want to show them this. You could just go to this URL and then this will work on your phone. They can get an idea of what you built. And I think that's kind of nice. So just making it shareable is really the main goal.
I think as long as they can do that and mint on the phone, like you'll be fine. I don't think people are going to be like making grand sculptures on their phone. I mean, I'm sure some will for sure, but I don't.
Somebody will. Yeah, the minting, we got to test out minting fully still. We're in the process of doing like, we're going to do a couple battery runs of like minting just to make sure nothing breaks down. And then, yeah, mobile's going to be one of the guys that gets hit on there.
We're gonna do a test mint on testnet ourselves, just because that's the only way. You can't connect your you can't do wallet connect to like a your own local Terra on mobile, but you can do a testnet one. So we're gonna do minting testing there to confirm that.
Yeah, that's the most annoying thing about the mobile wallet is you can't point it to a test or to your local Terra instance. You have to use mainnet or testnet. It just makes it really. I like to test things completely away from the chains for a bit, and like it gives you no option to do that functionally. So, but you know, testnet's free, so whatever. So yeah, if you can sniff out our testnet contract, you'll be able to mint at some point, but it won't be a real one.
And did you guys announce when launch yet? I'm going to keep bugging you about that till you do.
Yeah, no, like we have dates. They might get pushed back very slightly because we are now switching the minting mechanics to UST, which we now need to retest because we don't want it to screw up. It actually adds an implication on the smart contract side. And then also we're switching to our own infrastructure as well. So now while we were testing with like FCD assumptions, we now have to basically make sure that, okay, is our server secure? Do we have enough bandwidth to handle it? How do we set up that infrastructure? So we're going to push back a little bit most likely, But the original dates are A, in the Gitbook, and B, on Twitter. We called out the 8th as when whitelist minting begins, and the 11th when open minting begins. So imagine these dates plus potentially like 5-ish days, somewhere in that window. So still this month for sure, still early to mid this month, most likely. But yeah, just because we picked up those things, I think we want to be careful and not screw up the mint just because we want to get this done. I think what we're adding is important, which is the price change and also the our self-infrastructure stuff. So just adds up there. So once we know that better, we'll tweet that out. So tomorrow we're going to tweet out the mint price change, but we're still sorting the dates exactly.
Yeah, I don't think anything is minting around there. I know Terran's is the 9th, I want to say. Finn, you might know too. Most everything's been minting, been minted already, or will be in the next week, I think.
Oh, you know, you asked or you said something a while ago about like what do you do with mints after like the minting phase is over. I didn't touch on this. So the mint is perpetual. Like if let's say we get to open minting and they all haven't been minted, we don't care. You can still mint them 2 years from now if you want, if they're still available. So there's not going to be like a giant burn of leftover plants or anything. So I mean, once again, do not buy this project as an investment. Personal advice there. But if you're going to, be aware that the mint will remain open until they're all gone. Just because we didn't see the point of throwing perfectly good planets into a volcano. Like if people want them, they want them. If they don't, they don't. That's all okay. There's another implication to that.
Also, we should be listed on Nowhere and Random Earth not too long after the mint. So yeah. You'll be liquid if you want to sell.
Yeah, in terms of discussions with them, we're at the point where they say, okay, what's your mainnet contract? And we're like, okay, great. Like, we just have to get that for you now. So we're in the door. They're waiting on us to provide that information.
Yeah. Also, when One Planet launches, which is a more of a decentralized NFT exchange, they said that they would like to list us once they launch there. It's going to be nice when there's a few marketplace options.
And it's going to be no royalties, by the way, on these. So if you sell them, like the only fee you're going to hit is whatever that exchange is charging you. 0% royalties from us, just because the goal of this project is not like how do we make this something that survives for 30 years? It's how do we do something innovative and provide a framework for people to look at? And how do we support that for at least like a year or two to come just to make sure we can keep that going? So once they're out there, they're effectively yours. We don't have much control over what you do.
Yeah, the marketplace is a good thing because I was about to ask about that. And as I'm thinking about it, like one of the issues I have seen is where the marketplace opens and the mint hasn't finished. So people have the option to like mint at a cheaper price than what some other people put their, you know, the flippers that put out their mints for like the higher price. But at with the price point of 30 UST, I don't really think that's I don't really see that being too big of an issue. Like once you buy it, why would you flip it?
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know if they're going to be able to list our minting because like we're not minting with them. I guess Eric, you probably know more about how that worked. Are we just natively compatible with them because we're not giving them our minting contract?
No. You won't be able to mint through them, but you can. You once you mint and you own a contract and you own the NFT and we're able to go on those markets, they will be able to list their NFTs that they own.
Right. Yeah, and I didn't mean mint on their sites. I meant just the fact that e-mint on your site is still open, therefore people could still get it for 30 UST, but then say someone else mints theirs for 30 and then for whatever reason decides to put it up for like one Luna on Nowhere Art. Like, why would you do that, right? It doesn't really make sense for this project.
Yeah, no, I get you now. That makes sense. Yeah, and actually, something about exchanges. So there's a couple paradigm shifts that unfortunately we're trying to encounter with this project, not because like we're edgy or anything, we're just doing a weird thing. And one of them is everyone's very familiar with going to exchanges and you see an image of what you're buying. If you're buying a Galactic Punk, you look at the picture, that's the one you're getting. For ours, when you go to the exchange, you will not see a rendering of the planet. You are going to see the project logo, which is this little guy up here, this little icosphere. And that's going to be jarring for some people. So I'm curious what everyone's opinion is on that. So if let's say for whatever reason, all 5,000 planets are minted and then they're dumped onto the exchange, you're going to see 5,000 Icosphere images and just know they're from our collection. And the idea is that you're buying that, which is you're buying mutation rights for that planet in the app. So I guess any thoughts on that, or like what you guys think about how people are going to perceive that?
I mean, we already run into that, basically seeing the broken image placeholder on Nowhere daily and on Random Earth. So I don't think people are going to really care that much.
Yeah.
It'll depend, right? Because we see no image with XYZ, right? And I go back to XYZ, not to keep comparing guys, but because I know other people will compare you.
Yeah.
When they just see that first image of a galaxy with, you know, quote unquote coordinates. So XYZ, you only see XYZ literally, I believe, if I remember correctly. The worst case scenario is if people compare you to Astroverse and they're like, oh, I'm used to seeing this really cool image of an Astroverse planet. Why don't I see that for Intergalactic, right? Mm-hmm. Even then, it's sort of like, it's more like a learning curve, I think, than a huge negative.
And okay. I mean, I own an Astroverse version 2 planet, and I will loan it to you guys, and you can use it as your thumbnail placeholder.
just steal all the Astroverse, sorry.
No, it's mine. I bought it. I own it.
There you go. Yeah. That's a good point with XYZ, though. They do have that same thing where, like, there isn't necessarily a visual thing. And here's something weird I kind of thought of, too, where let's say for whatever reason we went through all the effort to make it so when you mutate the planet, that picture gets moved into the contract as well, so that it actually appears on the exchange. There's actually a really clever hack you could basically do. You know how people say like, ooh, that looks rare, and then they buy it, right? You could make a rare looking planet because you're good at art or whatever. You could save that. Then you could list it on the blockchain, effectively trying to make it look like you got a rare part of our collection, which just isn't the case at all. Like everything in our collection is like a homogenous good. They're all the same, but someone could actually exploit that process and make good looking planets and try to flip them, even though intrinsically you don't own the actual design of the planet. Right. So there's this odd, like weird case where people could actually steal basically doing that.
The image of the planet isn't an image, right? It's not an image file on the site.
Wait, where?
So right now what we're looking at isn't an image file, or could that be something that you could save a static image file of it?
Yeah, I mean, you could. Like, so basically with the render that we're using in 3JS, you could effectively do something that's equivalent to what I'm doing here, which is like taking a screenshot. Like, that is something we could program in to do. And you could hypothetically make a way when you save the planet that this picture is taken, it's uploaded to IPFS, it is switched out in the contract to do all that jazz. But for the reasons that I explained, it would be a little dangerous.
Well, I mean, because you could do that because you're just updating the string to the IPFS target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you could do it. But I think it would add an element where people can see it. It would market it better. But I do fear what would happen when people draw, and I'm air quoting my hands right now, rare planets, and then they list them. Is that going to trick people who don't understand the project into buying planets at an inflated price? So I think that is a possibility.
In that scenario, though, like, are you saying they're mucking up the contract to make it seem like they're coming from Intergalactic?
They're not mucking it up. But you know, like, how when you do a mint, you can get, like, a different rarity for certain projects. Like, there's tiers. So, like, let's say I got the rarest Galactopunk or whatever. When I put that for sale, that's going to sell at a much higher price than, like, a base level one. Or I guess a good one is the Terra Cards one, because they have a very clear structure for rarity. If you have something where someone can change the visual representation of it and make it appear as rare, they could dupe people who don't understand that really the price for all these planets is about the same. But if they can draw really well, they could update the image, make it look rare, and then charge an inflated price. And they might trick someone into buying it because they think it is rare. So I should get this one. Not sure if that makes sense. I may have just kind of talked myself into a circle, but...
No, I mean, yes and no, because like you guys aren't going to have any rarity in your metadata, right? So there's nothing for like Nowhere Art or Random Earth to show when they show the NFT. It's just going to be the ID, and pretty much that's it, right? So they're not going to confuse traits with rarity appearance, maybe, but like I mean, I don't know if you guys, I think it was on Talos. Somebody was putting up fake Galactic Punks on Talos, and they like mucked up the contract and it made it look like they were Galactic Punks and just by naming it, but not associating it with the correct contract. Like that's sort of like the crazy things I'd be more worried about. But like, I don't see that as a big danger for this.
Okay. No, that's fair. I think also real quick, how much did that one fake Galactic Punk project rip off of people? Does anyone know like a number on that?
Oh, I don't know. I think one or two got sold. I don't know what the price was, and I don't know if they were able to track it. But it was pretty clever because they just named it Galactic Punk instead of Punks, I believe, or something like that. And then people hadn't learned. I think I learned this too when I saw the tweet that. There's metadata in the real contract that does get displayed as either verified or has a unique distinction in the marketplaces that very clearly tells you that it's the official contract. But what was more disturbing than anything, and I mean, this is not for anything, was the fact that a contract that wasn't the valid contract was able to get listed on the marketplace. Whereas I've always thought marketplaces whitelisted the contracts. Otherwise, you'd have other just random contracts trying to sell things on there, right? So that seemed really
weird. That is weird because you said this is Nowhere Art, right?
No, this was on Talos, which might happen because Talos has been pretty buggy.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't think we talked to Talos at all, right, Eric?
They never got back to us.
Yeah, they never got back. Yeah, I don't know what their process is, but I know for all the other places, it's like they directly talk to you, even if it's just over DMs. So like I'm guessing someone just DM'd them and said, "We are Galactic Punk," and they got on, unless they have some weird governance.
No, you can mint anything on them, so that's how they did it.
Oh, really? It's just like completely open?
It is, but you can't do collections. You can only do one-offs, so I can see how they did that.
That's the benefit of Talos, is that it's for the independent. Oh, okay. Not just for them, but it's unique for like an independent artist to go in there and create their own mint and create their own art and mint it themselves.
Gotcha. So I see right here, this option, right? The create option, I can connect my wallet and then do a mint.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I'm not sure if I like Talos's design or if I don't like it.
It's okay to say you don't like it. I don't think very many people like it.
I get what they're going for aesthetic wise, but yeah, I find it hard to look at a little bit. Yeah, I don't need to brag.
Yeah, also doing something with like you can do prints of the NFTs. I don't think they've gotten that set up yet.
Talos? No, I don't think so. But you're right. That was one of the other big things that they had, was that integration with being able to directly get something printed that you bought as an NFT.
Yeah. I guess why do they limit it to like something that you've bought? Because can't anyone just like go ahead and take the NFT and print that anyways? Like if I just opened up Theo's t-shirt shop and I just say like, point me an IPFS link, can't I just do that anyways?
Like, depends. The ownership laws are not clear with NFTs.
There's no ownership laws. It's a social contract. There isn't a law.
Well, you can license it. So it depends on how the artist does it. So the artist can give the rights to whoever holds the NFT, and that like lawsuits have been won over that.
Oh, really? Which one? Do you know any cases where like that's actually like stuck?
They specifically set it up like this, and someone was selling like t-shirts for a profit. So like they like sent like cease and desist and they said no, and then like they got pulled from whatever t-shirt thing.
Interesting. I wonder what that looks like in terms of a legal document in order to execute on that. That must have been really terrible to go through court because no one knows what anyone's talking about. It just happened like 2 years ago.
I don't know the full details, but they set up pretty clearly like whoever owns this NFT owns the rights to this. And then there's other ones where like the artist still maintains the rights even with their NFTs, which is funny.
Well, I guess I'm wrong there. Yeah, so as long as you set it up right. I'm curious how many people actually set it up right though.
That's like most people aren't, so then it's free for the most part in the eyes of the law.
Yeah.
Or the default is that the artist owns it, not the owner of the NFT.
Yeah. I wonder what that's going to look like in the future in terms of, oh, I'm not trying to paint. I'm trying to put some seaweed down, man. That's not even the right color now.
Ugh. I'm going to appreciate you guys' time and answering all the questions. I think it looks really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks for all the questions.
Thanks for coming back. That was awesome.
Also, good luck with the testing.
We will need luck. I think we're looking good, I think, but
yeah.
You never know.
I'm going to hop off too and get back to doing some more dev on it.
Sounds good.
Bye, everyone. Good.
I heard someone join and then leave right away. It's all good. Anyone else have any questions of what's going on or anything they want to look at? All right. Well, then maybe we'll just call it a night here. Yeah, we're going to go for like 2 hours. That's fair.
Thanks for the show, sir.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Intergalactic Planetary showing off their cool NFT project. They'll be launching here soon. Info is at terraspaces.org. And make sure to join up in their Discord. And yeah, thanks for listening. For Terra Spaces, I'm Finn. Peace out, y'all. When I'm ripping and rapping, I ain't picking the bastards who be tricking the masses into getting their asses kicked. Feels like I've been getting my masters. Fuck, I'm pumping double like the income that's passive. Raise up the bar before I fly right past it. I'll be writing rhymes till they put me in a casket. Old man shit, put the lotion on its skin. Then put that shit back in the damn basket. Like Buffalo Bill, the way I'm ruffling feathers. Snuffing out debt, cut the heads off collectors. Keep a couple heads in a jar as keepsakes. And take the rest and turn them into freebies. Upgrade the feeling, supply the free base. Looking all professional, tools in the briefcase. Running on empty from gassing up my teammates. First one down, let me know how that sleep tastes.
Now places the lotion in the basket.
And impossible, defending the plausible from end to demonstrable. The mission isn't even worried about the clearance. Running interference till our enemies fear us. We're only one disappearance away from a bad day. Everybody trying to save face on the last day. Feeling fancy, about to pull out the masse. Drop the eight ball in passing, that's so passe. I'm getting nasty, you cannot put it past me. A mix between blasphemy and tuck everlasting. Feeling like a masterpiece, looking like a tragedy. Trying to get through another day full of savagery. Getting headstrong from working in the mess hall, all hands on deck, waiting for our next haul. I need the rest, got big plans to eject. So feed the grass and keep off the Kleenex.
I am interested in magic because I am fascinated with psychology. I love to learn about how people make inferences, how they draw conclusions, find patterns and information. And in particular, I'm interested in all that can go wrong. How an individual can be led astray with certain cognitive vulnerabilities or exploited.